Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy and I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you can be prepared to win the battle for business. That's right. Now listen, I know you're out there, you're hustling, you're closing deals, you're making money, you're turning prospects into profits. So I've got to make it worth your while. That's why I have on the kinds of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest, no exception. So thanks for being on board. And as always, a special thanks to our sponsor, Corbett Public Relations, where they've been promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So do yourself a favor. Visit Bill and his team at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. All right, welcome aboard, everybody. Now, I have a confession to make as the host of the Profit Express. It has been way too long since I have talked about the significance and the importance of human resources on the success of businesses, large and small. Now, I have to be honest. As the host of the show, as a sales performance coach, I have a huge bias for anything sales and marketing and branding. And I talk with entrepreneurs. So that's where my head is at as a business owner. But I owe an apology to the world of HR. And as I owe an apology, because what I'm about to say, I don't want to insult today's guest. I don't want to insult HR professionals out there, of which my wife is one. Because in corporate America, HR isn't always known as the sexy end of the business. And you might have even heard that, unfortunately, HR often is given a seat at the kids' table. And quite frankly, that's wrong and insulting. Because you can't win the battle for business, whether you're a large business, medium-sized, or small, if your HR professionals, departments, policies, and procedures are not up to snuff. So that is why I want to make it a topic on the show today. And it really came kind of forefront, if you will, when a local professional, she's one of the best here on Long Island, she's Jackie Grenade, she is the CEO of Seven Star HR. And she was promoting recently a webinar she did. I believe the topic was compliance. And when I saw that, because I've known Jackie for many, many years here on the local Long Island scene. And when I saw the webinar, it got me thinking. I'm like, yeah, I haven't talked about HR in so long. It's a critical role that doesn't get attention it deserves. Not just on my show, but you know, in a lot of the media. And it got me thinking about this. And this is really what we want to talk about today. Not the changes that have happened in human resources, you know, from 5 or 10 or 20 years ago. But I want to start looking at what's really happened and how it impacts you, the business owner. What has changed in the landscape since COVID? Now we're coming up on we're right at about the third anniversary of COVID. And there's a few major factors that my clients are dealing with. They're still to this day grappling with, you know, how do they embrace a remote workplace and virtual workspace, whether it's hybrid, whether it's full-time, part-time. A lot of owners are having a hard time with that. That's number one. Then recruiting. Again, a lot of my clients, of course, what are they looking for? Looking for sales professionals. They're having a really, really hard time with recruiting and the shallow talent pool that's out there. Which then also leads to another very interesting topic I'm sure you've heard a lot about. What is that quiet quitting? Quiet quitting, what in God's name is that? We got to figure it out. But these are all things, whether it's how to adapt to and embrace the remote workplace, quiet quitting, okay, and recruiting. And are you, as that small business owner, how competitive are you in what is a very competitive marketplace? Because let's face it, it's a seller's market. The employees have the upper hand. So when I saw Jackie promoting a webinar, I knew it was perfect time. It was karma to have her on. So it's a pleasure to have on board the Profit Express. Again, Jackie Grenade, CEO of Seven Star HR. Jackie, how are you today?
I am great. Thanks so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it. And I love that you are focused on employees because sales is great, but if you don't have employees to get the product out, not much you can do.
Well, you know, listen, as I said, I have a bias towards sales. you know, branding, marketing, obviously. But there's, you know, we have a lot of small business owners who listen to the show. They're fans of the show. And, you know, there is no really non-essential aspect of a business. And I think, you know, human resources, especially, I guess, just from my perspective, especially since COVID, so much has changed. And I want, and that's why we're having the conversation, to create an awareness for the small business owner. So here's the first question. Let me jump into it with you. So I want to know, whether it's a prospective client or an existing client of yours, Jackie, what are they hitting the panic button about when it comes to HR today? Why are they reaching out to you?
Well, a couple things. From a hiring standpoint, the market is just really rough to get someone. Mm. So about 50% of what we do is hiring. Mm-hmm. And then I have to say that the government, state, federal, and local has become a great salesperson for us, Tim. They keep passing more and more laws, making it more and more difficult for business owners to keep up with making sure that they were compliant.
Well, because that was, as I mentioned, you had a recent webinar on that's how it kind of just, you know, had the idea for the show on compliance. So, and that's a word so many business owners hate because it's a time suck, it's a resource suck, but it's good for you, it's good for business, right? Because they have to, you know, figure that out. Now, what is interesting is COVID. Well, it seems like we've been talking about COVID for 10 years. We're only coming up on the 3-year anniversary, right? It's like, can we talk about this anymore? But one of, you know, because of the nature of what COVID was, it obviously blew the doors open on remote work, doing, you know, work through MS Teams, Zoom, et cetera. Everybody knows that. But now that it's safe to go back to the workplace, there's a lot of employees who kind of got comfortable with it. They don't want to go back. There's lifestyle changes to it. What advice do you have for a business owner who, because I'm just talking to some of my clients, are uncomfortable. They still like to have the bodies in the seats. What advice would you have for them as far as embracing this change?
So one of the big things about COVID is that employees became used to the flexibility of working from remotely. So my advice is, one, you talk to your employees, survey them, see what it is that they are thinking the ideal workplace would be. I have some that have brought people back. Obviously, if you're in manufacturing and you need people on the shop floor, you right. don't have a choice. Sure. But some of the other people are bringing people back one day a week, etc. If you do that, one of the big things is all of the processes and the procedures you have for your general operations have to change, because the format of approvals and all of those kind of things. So, but my first advice is, given this marketplace, you want to make sure you're not losing good employees. And one of the ways is to find out what it is that they want and then set up a process. There are ways that you can stay in touch. There are ways, you know, we have all the software products. There are ways that your supervisors can be taught how to manage the employees. You can actually assess people and see if they are able to work at home. For example, some people just can't stay on task if there's somebody not looking over their shoulder.
Now, I mean, and that's, I think, why some employers, you know, are a little cagey, a little nervous about it. You know, will productivity go down? You know, will they be, you know, taking the kids out and going shopping or what have you? Which, listen, at the end of the day, it's real concerns because you're paying for that time. So here's another aspect. So like you said, your procedure, you have to adapt your procedures, which is something you have to consider. I am, and I always have been very much, you know, in sales and doing what I do. I've always loved and appreciated belly to belly. I've always appreciated, you know, the human interaction. Have you seen, whether through your clients or just in your own research, how the remote work has impacted morale, how it's impacted culture negatively or positively?
So from a morale standpoint, it actually being remote often increases morale, but culture, that's a different thing. Right? Because you want a particular way that it feels mm-hmm. in your company. And it means you have to work harder to develop that morale. So if you want people to be able to call each other, talk outside of work, mm-hmm. have a, I call it the rich mentality, not being king mentality, where somebody's always telling you what to do.
Right.
Then you've got to develop your people. You have to trust them. You can do some monitoring, but check in and set goals and have meetings one-on-one and as a team, just like you would have done in the office. And make sure that you do the same kind of things. If everybody goes out to lunch periodically, then maybe you should set up a time where everybody, you take everybody to lunch and you have that kind of camaraderie feel.
You know, you made a very important distinction. So you're saying morale can be up because I guess it's a little, you're a little bit more relaxed working from, you know, home and maybe, you know, your comfortable den, if you will. So morale could go up, but then culture, you know, you looked at it very differently. I didn't really think about that, but that's an important point. And you said something that I caught, Jackie. I hope the listener has to catch. I want to go back to this. You said, and you emphasized it. You said you have to trust your employees. You're smiling. What do you mean by that? Is there a lack of trust in general?
Well, I think sometimes business owners are very afraid, non-trusting, that employees are going to do the work that they wanted, that they need to do. The thing that I have found, actually, because of the flexibility, many times you get a lot more work out of the employee, because especially if they're a salaried employee, because they are working early in the morning, they might be working late at night. And what you've got to be looking at is results. So what did you accomplish? Not how much time were you where? Results is what it's all about, Tim.
So it's not so much being a clock watcher anymore, but it's bottom line results as to what you're looking for. Are they getting the job
exactly.
and the task done? Right. Okay. I'm glad you went back to that because the trust factor is key because, you know, if you've hired an adult, you know, we have to, you know, treat them as such until they give us a reason not to treat them as such, you know. So it just seems like such a crazy world. But then let's talk about culture again, because, you know, we've lost the water cooler chit chat, right? You've lost maybe grabbing, you know, lunch or coffee in the break room. So that's gone.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, talking about the Super Bowl on Monday, right? That's gone. So then what, you know, you're talking to the business owner, you're talking to the managers, again, your typical clients. What is it that they can do? Because it seems like, you know, they have to do something in addition to make sure that they don't lose the culture, given that remote workplace.
So I don't know how much time was lost over the years. I've heard some people talk about much greater productivity now because we don't have the water cooler chit chat, because people weren't hanging out, having coffee or bopping into each other's offices, interrupting them. But I think that you do have to put things in place. So a retention program for your employees, things that, you know, give them the swag, do a wear the swag sweatshirt to work day, do the, you know, those kind of things. Be creative and make sure that if you want a fun workplace, that you have that built into your what you do from a culture standpoint. That, okay, we're gonna all bring our pets to this meeting, whatever.
Right. That's actually not a, my wife talked about that yesterday. Somebody's cat made an appearance at a Zoom meeting, so it's funny you mentioned that. But yeah, you know, it is. It does fall on the managers. It's not, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you just can't talk about it. You know, they've got to do by, you know, encouraging fun, creative things to keep people in the loop. But again, it's funny how, like you said, we're not BSing at the water cooler. So productivity may actually be able to go up because there's less fraternizing. So, man, it's
safe for every interruption, Tim.
Yeah,
that it takes you 20 minutes to get back on track. So if people aren't stopping in your office lots, you're going to stay on track much better.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because in a way it does make sense. You miss the camaraderie, but you know, that whole start stop thing with the task, and, you know, getting your brain on track. And I'm sure you've done tons of research on that. You know, and not only is it a time drag, but it's also like an energy drag and creativity drag. So I'm seeing it as certainly an opportunity if employers, if managers embrace it, where you could get some more productivity. But will they trust? That's the key.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to trust. But if people are not getting the results, then you have to ask why. What's going on? Are they not engaged? Do they have something going on in their work life that is causing them a total distraction? Sick kid, sick husband, something.
Yeah. There's another issue at hand. Now, all right, so here's something that I encounter quite a bit with my own clients, and again, from the perspective of my clients looking for sales professionals. The labor pool is, as you know, as a lot of the listeners know, and a lot of the listeners of the show have experienced, it's shallow. And I was just, I have a number of clients. I'll tell you a little quick story, Jackie. I have a number of clients in the financial services industry, and one of them was a manager at a local branch, actually in Ohio. And he was telling me that this past week alone, he set up two interviews with potential candidates for, you know, a business development role. And one of the candidates, 20-somethings, requested an Outlook invite reminder, you know, to be set up to get an Outlook invite. So at his request, the manager sent it and no-showed, the candidate no-showed on the interview. It was a Zoom interview, no-showed. 3 hours later, reaches back out to the manager. My client says, oh, hey, can we reschedule? That was one. And then another one, and again, this is a financial services business, professional environment. Another one, the candidate shows up for the interview in a tie-dye t-shirt. You can't make these things up.
No, you can't.
So now I don't even know. So the labor pool is the labor pool. So I guess the question really would be, to make it worthwhile for the listeners, is how can you stand out because the competition is so fierce? Let's look at that.
So the, fir- Yeah. So the first thing is when you put your ad online, the word ad means it's a marketing piece. So it should be created as such. It should tell all the good things about working with the company. It should just have a few things. It's not the job description. It should include salary and benefits and all those great things that they can get. So that's number one that you really need to do is be prepared. Also in the preparation, take a look at your LinkedIn profile on your for your company, as well as your own LinkedIn profile. Make sure it's communicating what you want it to communicate about working in the business, that this is a great place to work. You also want to take a look at some of the reviews. Indeed has reviews. Several other people have reviews, and you want to look at those and make sure that you don't have a black eye there, because that will help. So those are the preparation things that you need to do. And then the recruiting begins.
Right. You got to set the table before it begins. And you bring up a good point. The ad is the ad. It's a marketing piece. Some of those ads scare the hell out of me. What they ask for, it's like, who would sign up for this job? Who would apply for this job? It's terrifying. So again, also a great reminder, you know, you got to have a good LinkedIn profile. It's got to, you know, you got to post with some regularity. You got to look vibrant. You got to look like you'd actually be in an enticing place to work for. What are there any specific or creative ways, like what companies are winning the recruiting battle?
Well, of course, people that hire us. But the thing that I think is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Use an applicant tracking system that posts on more than just Indeed. They're native. They can post in native ways, Google for jobs, Facebook for jobs, LinkedIn for jobs, and without having ZipRecruiter and Indeed, without having to pay anything. So start there with the native through a good applicant tracking system that is going to do all that posting for you, so you don't have to do that. And so that's the first place to start. We use something called programmatic recruiting. It's similar to programmatic marketing or rebranding, that it chases people. It'll also, right now, it's costing about $850 to keep Indeed ads at the top of the list. And that's craziness. So we suggest you look into programmatic recruiting, which will help spread the money around, move it wherever you're getting the best results. So that's probably, we find right now, is the best thing. You also need to have the ability to text. If you're not texting candidates, if you're emailing them, trying to call them, you know, this day and age, texting is king.
You know, it's funny. I haven't really considered that. So companies don't frown upon it. Candidates are obviously, because everybody responds to a text quicker than any. You know, certainly the younger generation, not picking up the damn phone. So the likelihood of them responding to a text is that much higher. But and without getting too technical, though, because you mentioned, you know, applicant tracking systems, which are key. And I think we've all, like, if you're dumping money into LinkedIn ads or Indeed, we know how they can kind of fall into obscurity. So you mentioned programmatic searching and kind of investing your dollars there. I just want to make sure I understand it and the listeners understand it. So what you mean by that is that, is it placing ads in on different sites, on different platforms?
So you, programmatic means you're using software to manage
okay.
where the spend is occurring, Tim. So let's say you put $750 into programmatic and it will say, okay, I'm going to start with Indeed and ZipRecruiter and blah, 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 all whatever
right. it
picks. And then it sees, oh, ZipRecruiter is doing better than Indeed. So it pulls the money out of Indeed and puts more money into ZipRecruiter. That's what I'm saying. And it does that on a daily basis. It moves money around.
Okay. So you're not just, you know, writing a check each month and dumping it into Indeed and getting no results and then waiting 2 or 3 months and realize, oh, wow, we just, you know, pissed away a lot of money.
Exactly.
Okay. Got it. Okay. I'm glad I mentioned programmatic. Very good. Now, you see, there's so much to talk about. Man, I should have done more shows on HR. I feel like I'm trying to jam it all into
I'm
one show, Jack.
Available. I'm always available, Tim.
No, but yeah, listen, I couldn't have fun, but it is a key element, and it's tough for small businesses because you know it. Small businesses don't have the resources. You know, a lot of small businesses don't even have an HR department, you know, but they have to deal with things like compliance. So there you go. Now, let's talk about, because to me, it's a concerning topic. It's a scary topic. We can't bury heads in the sand. What the hell is quiet quitting?
Okay, so quiet quitting are those people who you give something to do, they slow way down. They're doing the bare minimum. They've really quit, but they haven't told you yet.
Oh, man. So it's a slow death and you're still taking a paycheck.
It's a slow death, doing a paycheck, doing as little as they possibly can, keeping them under the radar, but they're really not doing the things that you need them to do. They might even be on a performance improvement, do just a little bit
right.
more. Some of these people are even starting businesses on your nickel. So you're paying them while they're doing work on something else and just doing enough to keep from being fired.
So they're doing side hustles on your dime.
So many of them we found did do that. Yes.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's horrible. That is horrible. All right. So there's what has, you know, it's just not right. It's not professional. They're, you know, in essence, stealing company resources, if you ask me, but I'm the business owner, right? Let me ask you this. What has been the best result of COVID in the workplace and the worst result of COVID in the workplace?
So the best result, I think, is that we finally gave employees the opportunity to learn what was really important to them. Mm-hmm, you know, this flexibility of doing different things in different ways.
Right.
So that was probably the best. The worst was there's a whole lot of adjustment for the business owners. Some of the older business owners are really struggling with making the change. They'll say, I just want it to be the way it was. You know, you can't go back 3 years. It just, time marches on and we all have to change. And this is something that absolutely requires a change.
So in essence, I don't want to just completely minimize it, but in essence, it could have been better for the employee and tougher for the employer in a lot of ways, it sounds like.
Well, I think the employer had to make a whole lot of changes that the employee got to just stay home.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, well, this is easy. I don't have to commute anymore. I can just have a nice shirt on, but pajama bottoms, if that's what I want to do. Right. Sweatpants.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I can stop, go deal with the kids and come back and sit down, or, you know, let the grocery guy in. And, you know, so
it's true.
A whole lot of quality of life issues happened for them.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of change happened for business owners, because it's like, I don't know how to manage these people. How do I know? That's what we talked about, the trust. How do I know they're doing anything? I just don't know. And that panic of, I don't know. And I'm wringing my hands, you know,
right.
I just don't know what they're doing. And, you know, so again, many big changes for the business owner. And the fact now that they're hoping that they're going to return to either slowly by creeping in one day a week, then maybe we'll go to two. You know, you got to be real careful, because what you don't want to do is lose your A players.
In this competitive marketplace.
In this marketplace, you can't replace them. Keep them. You want to do what you need to do to keep them. So that means you have to listen. You have to talk to them, and you have to listen to what is it. And then, hey, you have the right as the business owner to say, we are going to set up accountability. I want to know.
Right.
Here are the goals. And how are you doing against those goals? And especially in sales. Mm-hmm. Although, you know, in sales, there's a whole different selling in this market for people that are selling virtually. You know, that's something very different, a whole new way.
Yeah. Listen, Jackie, I'm glad I saw your webinar. It got my wheels turning about. I want to talk about human resources, its impact on small business, and how it can help them win the battle for business. So listen, a shout out to all the HR professionals out there and all the great work you do for your clients. How could people reach you? Is it a social media? Is it a website?
I think probably it's best to go to 7starhr.com, and 7 is spelled out, 7starhr.com. If you want to get more detail about our hiring, you could also go to effectivehiring.com. So
awesome.
That gives you even more in depth about the hiring.
Awesome. Listen, you've been a great resource today, Jackie. Thanks so much for being on board the Profit Express.
You're so welcome. Glad to help.
All right. Thank you, Jackie. And this is the Profit Express. And make sure to be on the lookout every Wednesday for great shows like today's with Jackie Grenet, CEO of 7-Star HR, as they download. And of course, you can follow me on the show on all the social platforms, on LinkedIn and YouTube and Instagram, yada, yada, yada. Hit the bells, the likes, all that good stuff. It's too much to say sometimes. Ugh. But more importantly, you, me, we're on a journey together each and every week to continue to win the battle for business. Until next time.